Welcome to the Functional Alignment Podcast, where I aim to functionally bring alignment into all aspects of your life. This show is a valuable resource for individuals seeking to optimize their health and wellness. Specializing in the fields of chiropractic, functional medicine, nutrition, and holistic wellness, this podcast is hosted by myself, Abby Borkowski, also known as Apples Eats on Instagram. The goal of this podcast is to offer insightful discussions and practical advice on achieving optimal health through a holistic approach, from addressing the root causes of stubborn health issues to exploring the latest research in functional medicine. This podcast covers a wide range of topics to empower listeners with the knowledge and tools to take control of their own health. If you are ready to become functionally aligned, keep listening. Hey guys, welcome back. Today's episode, we're going to talk about stress and what exactly stress is and how it kind of manifests and presents in a disease state. And then I'm going to end with some of my personal top tips and recommendations on where you can start with how to reduce stress and kind of, you know, dial it back in. And so I think this episode will be really beneficial. We all have stress. The older I get, the more responsibilities I have, the more I realize what a big role that stress can actually play in one's life. So this episode is really, I would say, realistic and is, like, nobody is perfect with their stress. Like, everybody's gonna have stress in their life somehow, somewhere. So no matter who you are, you can benefit from this episode. And that's why, like, I would appreciate it if you guys would share this episode, even just to one person, just send it their way. And I think this can really help a lot of people with natural ways that they can help reduce their stress and like help their body, their mind, soul, everything. So first, what is stress? Stress is kind of this overarching term that we use, but it defines any activity or thought that brings about these feelings of nervousness, anxiousness, anything that the body holds emotionally without even knowing it sometimes. So the body can be chronically under stress, meaning long-term, or acutely under stress, meaning short-term. So some examples of this is that, you know, like, the body can't perceive different stressors. So the body just sees a stress as stress. It can't be like, oh, this is a good stress. Like, for example, working out, we define that as a euphoric, a good stress, a hormetic stressor, which is like a short-term stressor that brings about long-term benefits. However, if you're so stressed with work, with school, anything else, and then you try and add this, we say good stress, like exercise, into the body can't perceive that as good stress. So it's automatically going to compile, and the body will be overburdened with even more stress adding up on that. So that's why I think it's really important to take a look at, like, your life and see what aspects are causing you to feel like you're rushed at meals, you're rushed at, you know, taking time for yourself. You feel like you can't catch a break and you're in this constant flight or fight mode, or a sympathetic dominance state, which is that fight or flight mode. So back to, like, our ancient times, you could say, the only real stress that our body perceived was when, you know, we're hunting and gathering, and an animal, you know, they had to run away from these animals that were going to try and kill them. This is just an example to use, but the body then, you know, their eyes dilate, like, the blood only rushes to the internal organs. It doesn't go to the extremities. Like, it's just, everything is, like, rapid, fast, heartbeats. And that's what the sympathetic state does. It gets you into that flight or fight mode. And our bodies do that now, not to run away from things and to save our lives, but to, you know, if somebody veers into your lane and you're in your car, you get stressed. You get stressed going to work. You get stressed at home. There's all these different places that you can get stressed. You get stressed watching a scary movie. Like, your body can't perceive what stress is. So that's why I think it's really important that you are able to recognize what is stressful in your life and how you can help kind of like reframe it and perceive it so that it's not such a burden on the body and it's not taxing the body into the ground. Because when we have chronic long-term stress, it can really manifest and present as disease states in the body. A lot of autoimmune diseases, a lot of like PCOS, fertility issues, losing hair is an example of like what stress looks like out on the body. Waking up in the middle of the night from sleep, anywhere from like 1 a.m. to 4 a.m. and not being able to fall back asleep, that's like a telltale sign that your cortisol is imbalanced, which is, again, our stress hormone. Go back to my episodes and I talk about what cortisol is and why it's important in relation to melatonin and how that can help with sleep. But when we have an imbalanced cortisol level because of the sympathetic dominant state that we're in from this chronic stress, your body wakes up in the middle of the night because this cortisol is spiking in the middle of the night because of all the stress that we've induced throughout the day. And it's this cyclical cycle that is, the body just does not feel safe and it is waking up in the middle of the night. So that's a way that stress kind of can, that's like a telltale sign that, okay, my body's perceiving that it's in chronic stress. I really need to work on my adrenals and all of this. So that's another sign. I said autoimmune conditions. Not having an appetite first thing in the morning is also like a sign of stress long term, because in order for the body to feel hungry and in a calm state, like that rest and digest state, it would be the parasympathetic state, which is the opposite of the sympathetic state that I was talking about earlier. So to be in that rest and digest state first thing in the morning is that the body is feeling in a relaxed, calm state. And if we have this stress and, you know, we hold it in the body, it's not going to feel hungry. So that's why doing a lot of these tips that I talk about in the future can really help with a lot of this. So next I wanted to talk about that, this sympathetic spillover of chronic stress. It affects our organ systems and it really affects the whole body. That's why I think if you're going to doctors and they're prescribing you medications and that's the only thing that they're telling you, they're not looking into your life of how can we help you get to the root cause of this? How can we help you cure this so you don't have it in the future? Or, you know, maybe not cure it, but regress it a little bit and maintain it where we're at right now. It's going to be looking at everybody individually differently. Somebody's life is completely different than somebody else's. Somebody could be dealing with stress from the loss of a loved one, from, you know, doing bad on an exam, to struggling to get by financially. There's all different ways that stress can compile onto the body. And it shows in different ways too. Again, it can show in disease. It can show in autoimmune disease. It can show in cancer. It can show in diabetes. It can show in obesity, weight gain. Like I said, thinning of hair, hypothyroidism, all of these disease states, the foundation of them is chronic stress and overload on the body. So that's why I really feel that these tips that I'm going to talk about, even if you take away one of them, I think it's a great place to start, because to even like look at your life and kind of analyze it in a way and pick apart pieces that may, like, you think may be causing some stress in here and there, that's a great place to start, because you're just being honest with yourself that, like, hey, this is an area I can focus on, I can work on, and if you're open to the idea, then you'll implement some different habits, and it's just an error, like a, let's play with it. Then if it works, it works. If it doesn't work, then we'll do something else. And maybe it's a different part of your life that we need to adjust. And it's an ongoing battle. I still learn every single day different things that will help me and what's not helping me. But throughout the past like 6 years, I've learned a lot about what doesn't help my body. And in return, I've learned about what does help my body. So again, I'm just going to run through a lot of these quickly. There's quite a few, but again, if you could take away one of these, that's great. So the first one, the one tip to help manage stress levels is that switching your movement for slow and low impact movement. Now, I'm not saying that high intensity interval training, running, cycling, hardcore intensity movement is not good for the body. I am just saying that we should not be doing this every single day. 1 to 2 times a week, great, add it in, but we really should be doing low impact movement. Like, we should be walking every day. That is so meditative for the body, and it's low impact, it's great for the joints, it's great for the muscles, and that's a great place to start for the mind too, because we always say movement is medicine. But if you're dosing it with the wrong intensity and level, it could be doing more harm and stress to the body than good it is. So that's why I just don't think this one size fits all approach works, because it's not realistic to be, you see influencers doing these HIIT workouts 5 days a week. That's wrecking their gut. That's wrecking, you know, they're just so many things. So I really am an advocate for low impact movement with doses, like short doses and bouts of high intensity interval training, like running, like cardio, a couple times a week, if that. The next one is focusing on breathing techniques. We actually don't breathe correctly as a society at all. And a lot of us are mouth breathers, which you're losing oxygen intake. So that's can cause disease states as well. And that can lead to more stress within the body because we're not getting oxygen throughout to all the tissues and the extremities of the body. So we really want to be breathing in through the nose and out of the nose. And another thing is breathing in and out of the belly, so that the diaphragm is working. So really when we're breathing, it should be like a forward and backwards movement. It shouldn't be an up and down movement with the shoulders. If your shoulders, when you breathe in, so if I say take a deep breath in right now, and that looked like your shoulders went up to your ears and you shrugged a little bit, that's an improper breathing technique. And this is just something that's not really taught, and I think it really should be taught because it's a vital sign, and if we're not taught how to properly breathe, it can literally lead to a disease state. So we don't want the shoulders to shrug up and down. Rather, we want to fill the whole lungs, which the lungs go down all the way until the bones on the ribs, so you can feel that. And you want to take a deep breath in through the lungs, fill all the lower lungs, and then you want to expand your belly out, and your shoulders shouldn't shrug up at all. So if you take a deep breath in, you feel your belly go out, and then you take a deep breath out, and you breathe out, and your belly goes back in. That way the diaphragm is moving. The diaphragm is a muscle, so if that muscle is stagnant, it's holding so much like contraction, and you can hold emotions and trauma and like contractions within muscles and like fascia and all these different tissue layers. So that's why breathing is crucial. And that's just like a breathing, like we all should know how to breathe. And that's a simple way. It's honestly so difficult to try and do. So if it's easier to lay on the floor, on your back, I would start there and just like consciously think about doing it. Do it a couple times, and it took me about like a month to implement that, but once I did it, like my working out, like I was able to work out easier. Just like my VO2 capacity, anything got better. So it really is, it's like a lost art, I would say, but it's something that everybody could work on. And when you breathe properly and like you sigh, like sighing is so good for the body. Like just a, like sighing releases so much tension from the body too, because it stimulates the vagus nerve. So that can help with vagal tone. The vagus nerve is a cranial nerve. It's cranial nerve 10, and it actually innervates. It's one of the only cranial nerves that innervates like all the gut. It innervates the GI system, the just everything up throughout the brain to the gut. So it's really that gut-brain access, and that's like the portal, the transmission, the messages that are being sent. And breathing and sighing and even humming, or, you know, it's very meditative, and that's kind of what a lot of yoga and their breathing techniques are built on, is the science behind the vagus nerve. So the next thing I want to talk about as a tip is that we are taught as a society, and you see it all over Instagram right now and TikTok, is that intermittent fasting is the way to the world. And I'm sorry, I have very firm belief against this. I tried this for myself a couple years ago, and yeah, it was great in the short term. Like I felt good. It was working. And then all of a sudden I hit a breaking point where I just couldn't do it anymore. And I felt like I didn't even know who I was anymore. My body, it was in this chronic stressed out state, and I'm still healing from that now. So I am very passionate about being smart about intermittent fasting and not just leaping into it without any knowledge behind it, because most of the studies done on intermittent fasting in the past have been on males, not females. So our bodies are very different, our compositions are very different, hormones are very different, and a lot of stress can, again, intermittent fasting is stressing out the body because it's not in a fed state. So the body has to work on all this fuel from the system, and it's using a lot of, you could say, it's adding another layer of stress. And if you are prone to sympathetic dominance and stress from other areas of your life, this is not the thing to add. There are way better ways if we're doing it for weight management, you know, diabetes, anything like that. There's ways to add it in, but it has to be done with a practitioner in a smart way. So just be very conscious about all the fads and stuff that you see on social medias. Another thing going along with that is, like I talked about, if you intermittent fast, you kind of lose your appetite in the morning, and that is a telltale sign that you're running on your adrenal glands, you're running on cortisol, and that's a recipe for disaster. So I'm a big fan of eating a big breakfast to reduce stress. Eating meals with high protein in the morning is also a great way to do it. Drinking caffeine is okay, but you know, try and aim to drink caffeine after you have your first meal so that you're not running on the caffeine for the whole morning. Meditating, like I said, using the breath work, doing you know, alternate nostril breathing, any different type. There's some great apps out there that are free too. So just find out what works for you. Another thing to reduce stress is no phones. In previous episodes, I talked about the blue light that phones emit, and that can lead to just perceived different states of stress within the body from the blue light. So no phones before bed or in the morning. That's a habit that I think I'll forever have to work on, but just being realistic and being conscious and aware of it is important. Let's see, showing up for yourself is crucial, because if you show up for yourself and you do what you have to do for yourself first, you fill up your cup, you're able to give back to others, but you can't keep giving to others and not fill up your own cup, because that will drain you. And I see so often there's people pleasers and people can't say no. And I understand there's circumstances in life where people, you know, they're obligated to take care of this person or to help this person, and that is great, but it's okay to ask for help. It's okay to say no sometimes, and it's okay to be very transparent with people and tell them that I have to work on myself so that I can take care of you in the future. And I think that that's just a great piece of communication. You're being very open with somebody and you're telling them how you feel. And again, it's how can somebody take that the wrong way? If anything, it's not selfish. You're just being respectful of everybody. So the next thing is, like I said, sunlight is super important. And I did a whole podcast episode on that, so I won't go into it, but you can listen to previous ones. And then creating routines. I talked about that in my first episode as well. So creating routines will help with sleep. And then being present. Being present is super important. Just being present in every moment you can. If you catch yourself thinking into the future, thinking into the past, just don't overthink. As my boyfriend would say, just like turn off your brain. When I tell him I'm like, I can't go to sleep at night, he's like, stop thinking. I'm like, it's not that easy. But here we are. He tells me to just turn off my brain. And sometimes all I need to do is just turn it off. And the best way to do that is to just like not thinking about the future or the past and just really thinking about like the being in the moment. And I find just something as simple as that can really help. Also, just like if you're scrolling aimlessly through social medias, it's hard not to compare yourself to other people. But that's really like it's like comparison is the thief of joy. I think that's the saying they say, but it's so true. Just try to limit scrolling, try to be present, and that really can just help the brain and not perceive, just, you know, be in a better place and not constantly comparing and everything like that. So I kind of ran through those ones real quick, but that's all I have today. Again, we talked about what is stress, how the body perceives stress. It can't perceive good versus bad stress. All stress is stress. And then how chronic stress can lead to disease states within the body due to the sympathetic spillover. And then we talked about the top tips to managing stress, like light impact movement, breathing techniques, not intermittent fasting, but rather eating a protein-rich breakfast, not skipping breakfast to drink caffeine, meditating, no phones, showing up for yourself, sunlight, sleep, on and on. But if you do these, I would love to see you guys incorporating these into your life any way you can. So this was a requested episode, and I think stress could be talked about in so many different ways, but I hope you folks enjoyed this episode. And again, like I said at the beginning, if you don't mind sending this episode just to one person, I really think this can help benefit anybody in their life with what they're going through. So with that, thank you for listening. If you would like to, please share this, rate it. Do whatever you want to do, but I appreciate you guys listening. So have a nice day.